Hello, San Francisco. My name is Richie Greenberg, host of the What Would Richie Greenberg Do as Mayor podcast. Welcome to the recap of the podcast episodes 1 through 4 of What Would Richie Greenberg Do as Mayor? As mayor, I would have plans and proposals to take immediate action addressing the most urgent issues of crime, drug dealing, the city budget, transportation, and how to bring an end to the doom loop caused by current mayor London Breed and our city hall's elected and appointed officials. Eyes have been on San Francisco for many years, and as our city slowly slips into criminal chaos, fiscal grifting, and the mismanagement contributing to the doom loop scenario, scrutiny of our current mayor London Breed has been getting harsher, and condemnation of her has been getting stronger, and it's well deserved. So this year, 2024, it's a mayoral election year. It's the last competitive election featured a wide open seat back in 2018. That mayoral race was called when previous mayor Ed Lee suddenly died late one night, setting off a widely covered competition of 8 candidates, including yours truly. And as we know, London Breed won. So San Francisco needs closure now. We need resolution to the concerns of the hardworking, law-abiding citizens of this city who have been suffering for years, starting before COVID until now, a city that is bizarrely upside down. It's a taxpayers' money-wasting catastrophe. So buckle up. Get ready for a journey together with me as I outline how I would handle leading the city of San Francisco as mayor. Episode 1, My Background. I moved to San Francisco at the height of the dot-com bubble burst, late 2001, moving up here from Los Angeles. I was a small business advisor working out of an office on California Street, minding my own business. By 2015, I began to pay closer attention to our city's policies and politics as conditions on the street were worsening at an alarming pace. Well, before 2015, I was too tied up with enjoying life and traveling, friends, my family, and working to give any thought to how City Hall was functioning. But that year, 2015, that was a turning point for me. I was spending so much time in the downtown financial district area. I saw more and more homeless were on the streets, graffiti on newly vacant storefronts was appearing with much more regularity. Crime was on the upswing, and local newspapers were reporting on the trials and tribulations San Franciscans were facing, and we were all pressing officials for solutions. I began to take note, learning more about the city's mayor and city council, which we call the Board of Supervisors here. I learned more about the police chief, the district attorney, what ballot measures were being floated for the next election day, and who was running for office. So, you know, seeing my hard-earned money being taxed, yet things were slowly going downhill in San Francisco just didn't seem right to me. So in 2018, I made a bold move. I ran for mayor. That seat was up for grabs. There was no incumbent. The current mayor at that time, Ed Lee, had passed away suddenly while shopping at a Safeway one night. Though I was an unknown at that point, I did garner 22,399 votes overall in the city's ranked choice voting system. I knew that what I was saying did resonate with many voters at that time. And though I did not win, my experience on the campaign trail, going around to different city debates and candidate forums, appearing on stage with the rest of the pack of candidates, that solidified the need for me to continue to be vocal, to be an advocate and an activist. I earned the ear of the media as well back then, being interviewed by radio, TV, and newspapers. And that's where I still am at to this day. So the aftermath, though, after 2018, as we all know, COVID hit in March of 2020, And Mayor London Breed, at that point in that time, declared our city in lockdown. A stay-at-home order was initiated from March 16th of 2020, and it remained in varying levels of closed or partly open, and then closed again, partly open again, open for some categories and not for others. Masks were required, vaccines required, mask requirement lifted on a roller coaster, open and closed, essentially lasting until sometime in 2022. But also back in 2020, we saw the tragic death of George Floyd and the resulting riots and protests across the nation, the mass looting that hit San Francisco's Union Square and the surrounding streets. Our police department was ceremonially defunded. Statues and monuments in our parks were torn down. The economy was shuttered. Many workers moved to either a work-from-home routine or fled to more open cities, often with their families. A rogue district attorney, Chesa Boudin, was just elected to power. A radical, who he is, sided with the criminals over law-abiding citizens, and three racist public school board commissioners, together with Boudin, were successfully recalled afterwards. And in my opinion, these were the darkest hours of San Francisco in a generation. The city of San Francisco was slipping further and further into the abyss, accelerated by how Mayor Breed handled the COVID pandemic and the lockdowns, the Black Lives Matter riots, the defunding our police department, the continued looting of our retail shops even till today, and so much more. Confidence in Breed's ability to lead San Francisco has fallen sharply. Numerous scandals of associates of hers with corruptions and trials and jail time adds to the environment that Mayor Breed is in deep trouble, and she has lost control of the narrative and of the city. The mayor is supposed to be in charge of and have oversight of City Hall and our public safety, and that's precisely why several challengers have emerged this election season to oppose her re-election later this year. And that's why media is paying attention to the leading challengers this time. Public sentiment says that London Breed has got to go. So episode two, my top priorities, public safety. Public safety encompasses a range of aspects, from law enforcement to fighting fires, emergency medical professionals, and more. Public safety has been officially defined as a core of a functioning and productive society and necessary to attract and retain a competitive workforce. I fully support our police department and the extremely hard work that they do under the oppressive oversight commission, which is called our police commission. I would demand restoration to the nearly 2,000 officers of the SFPD, along with the latest technology, vehicles, and equipment. I demand resignation and removal of certain members of the police commission. I also equally support the sheriff's department, as they're often overlooked and misunderstood. The sheriffs, the deputy sheriffs, they guard City Hall. They guard the courts, the jails, and they've been underfunded. But current Mayor Breed, though she's often referred to as a moderate Democrat, she's acted like a leftist radical and defunded the police department back in 2020 to the tune of $120 million. She had no reason to do this. San Francisco was not Minneapolis. The George Floyd tragedy did not occur here in San Francisco. And our police department here is not the Minneapolis Police Department. Breed, unjustified, radically, she set in motion a scapegoating of our law enforcement in San Francisco, vilifying our front line in protection of life and property. So, in my view, Mayor Breed cannot be forgiven, nor should we ever forget what she did. Again, as mayor, I would realign funding to the SFPD and our sheriff's departments for hiring of personnel, training, recruiting with bonuses, academies, new technology, equipment, and patrol cars. Tasers and other non-lethal alternatives must be a regular part of the equipment of San Francisco Police Department, and they have to have it available to them in any situation. Public safety includes being secure in our homes or when out on the streets or shopping at stores, eating at restaurants, and commuting on public transportation like BART and Muni. It includes patrols, emergency services, and their response, as well as overall response to crimes, to fires, to fight fires and natural disasters. I believe that the current reliance in a large part on community ambassadors only has limited application, and we need to focus much more on law enforcement. This means, as mayor, I would cut back on the use of ambassadors. Criminals preying on San Francisco are bolder, they're more heavily armed, more violent, and we need our police officers to be able to meet that challenge. Having more officers walk the beat or available to patrol our streets also has a benefit through traffic stops, moving violations, which directly affect street safety and other vehicles on the road as well, pedestrians and bicyclists. Tents blocking the sidewalks force pedestrians and bicyclists into the streets, and that's a public safety issue as well. We need more cops on the city streets, period. San Franciscans have been complaining incessantly about unsafe neighborhoods and streets, so we can make a big difference by having deterrence and monitoring by actual sworn officers, police officers with real enforcement capabilities, and they can investigate and have arrest powers, not to merely observe a situation, but to enforce, and quickly. Community ambassadors are not the answer and cannot be relied upon to deter crime. I believe also that we need to ensure a jail exists in San Francisco. There's a movement in the city to close and eliminate jails. That movement, in my opinion, is misguided and completely unacceptable. We cannot pretend that our city can be free of criminals and that the answer is to not prosecute. It was tried and failed miserably, much to our city's detriment. I will ensure, as mayor, the resources and funding to jails and keep the jails around, and we need sheriff's department deputies as well to man and guard those jails. Also, I mentioned the police commission before. For listeners who aren't aware, the police commission is made up of a 7-member panel of individuals that were appointed by the mayor and the board of supervisors. And that police commission has oversight and disciplinary powers over our police department. But there already is a Department of Police Accountability, which investigates when accusations are levied against a police officer. I find the existence of the police commission in its current form to be extremely troubling, as their powers have been overtaken by leftist radical members of the Board of Supervisors, which control the approval process of appointments to that police commission. It's a process that's too influenced by radical anti-cop agenda, and it's aligned with the already ousted District Attorney Chesa Bodine and his ideology. As mayor, not only would I review and address the many rules that have been placed upon the SFPD, whether they are if they're even lawful under California state law, I would challenge the local laws and have them canceled. Even further, the powers and policies of that police commission can be challenged, changed, restricted, and that's what I would do. The anti-cop, anti-law abiding panel of the commissioners cannot continue to detrimentally affect the citizens of San Francisco as they have, just because they have a gripe with cops or they have an affinity to the whole defunding the police mentality. They abuse their power to the detriment of San Franciscans. One focus of mine as mayor would be squarely on reforming the police commission itself. It cannot be allowed to continue to exist any further in the form and manner that it operates today. We must turn this around. We need to build trust, community relationships, and security between our city's citizens, our homes, our businesses, our cars, our lives, our city, the shopping centers and retail, tourism, conventions are all affected by Mayor London Breed's inconceivably terrible decisions. And as we've heard in, coming out of City Hall, there's no such thing as victimless crimes. By regaining control of the law and order in San Francisco, and only then can we expect a slow return of retail's nightlife, cafes, offices, and conventions. Episode 3 of my podcast, What Would Richard Greenberg Do as Mayor?, was related to my top priorities, specifically the $14.6 billion budget. One of the most important duties of a mayor is to prepare a budget. In simple terms, it's the total amount of money the city requires to operate all the departments and agencies and commissions and government offices for a year, to pay government employees, the salaries and benefits, to operate the transportation system, maintain the streets, and pay for public safety, the libraries, museums, and parks. The budget also includes government programs relating to health, wellness, welfare, and government assistance to low-income families, and drug treatment programs, government assistance for housing. It's a very long list of expenses. So back in 2015 and 2016, when I started to really pay attention to politics here in San Francisco, the operating budget for the city was about $9.6 billion. And now, for the 2024-2025 budget years, the San Francisco budget has ballooned to $14.6 billion. Yes, it went up nearly 50% over 7 years, and that's almost coincides with when Mayor London Breed took over. So even though the population of San Francisco has actually decreased a bit since COVID hit, even though our city's downtown financial district is nearly a ghost town now, with so many storefronts are boarded up and out of business, even though the homeless population is essentially holding steady, even though the police department and sheriff's department have had funding cut, even though a recent official count of tents on the city sidewalks, the number of tents is nearly the same as 2018. The budget has gone up nearly 50%. How on earth did this happen? And can it be rectified so our residents and businesses aren't continuously saddled with increasingly higher taxes and saddling the next generation of San Franciscans with an even higher tax? Yes, it can be controlled, it can be rectified, and I will tackle and rein in the gross spending as mayor. London Breed has irresponsibly doled out billions of dollars, literally billions, of taxpayers' funds to both city departments and to outside nonprofit organizations that are administering certain programs and doing outreach. And much of those billions are paid out to departments and nonprofit organizations that have little to no accountability, no measuring of success, and many of them are corrupt, wasteful, and ineffective. Mayor Breed has grown our government, creating new commissions and agencies and added to the overall cost of operating San Francisco. There are now nearly 37,000 people that work for the city government itself, not only paying salaries but benefits and retirement costs. This must stop. As mayor, the $5 billion increase that has gone under her watch from 2017 until now, it is suspicious. It has to be examined, scrutinized, and cut back. I will propose a $4.5 billion reduction in the City Hall budget over the coming 3 years, cutting back by $1.5 billion in the first year, another $1.5 billion in year two, and another $1.5 billion in year three. I will realign spending, realign and refocus priorities. I will cancel certain programs, review and evaluate and cut back or close down certain commissions and agencies and departments. I could not, as mayor, in good faith, continue to grow the size of government and grow the budget of San Francisco City Hall in an unrestrained manner, especially when so many programs and organizations are unaccounted for. City Hall needs to become more efficient, smaller, less expensive, and of course, accountable. Episode 4 of What Would Richie Greenberg Do as Mayor talked about my immediate directives from day one. If elected mayor, what would I do on day one in office? Well, mayors have the right, the privilege, and the authority to create an executive order. They are directives. And that's exactly what I've promised voters I would do on day one, once sworn in. I promised to stop the uncontrolled spending spree under London Breed, to not use taxpayers' money in a giveaway in a racially biased manner. I would be colorblind, to reward merit and encourage excellence, to bring San Franciscans together, not segregate. And I would cut off irresponsible exploitation by the many nonprofits. I would stop further waste and unaccountability and bias and greed by the current Mayor London Breed's administration. I would shut off the fire hose. I would rein in the unconstitutional giveaways and programs that she has championed. I would quit rewarding nonprofit organizations who've failed us over and over. So here's my executive directives. The issues of public safety and the unsustainable budget are my priorities, along with the unconstitutional and biased policies, and therefore, the following executive directives would be issued on the first day in office. As mayor, I would order the reduction or cancellation of funding for the Human Rights Commission. 75%, I would reduce their budget initially, and I would also immediately cancel all funding for race-based programs, including the Dream Keeper Initiative and the Office of Racial Equity. Then, the Office of Racial Equity itself would be closed, positions eliminated, and I would investigate that office. The Dream Keeper Initiative would be eliminated, positions eliminated as well, and the program investigated. All city commissions and departments and agencies which employ DEI and a diversity officer, 100% funding cut to specific DEI employee and officer positions, and the positions eliminated. The Department of Public Health, 50% reduction of the budget, and there'd be further funding cuts pending civil and criminal investigations. Homelessness and supportive housing, 75% reduction of its budget pending civil and criminal investigations. Safe injection sites. Any and all programs and employment positions would be canceled entirely. And state and federal civil and criminal investigations, I would call for those investigations. Housing First and harm reduction, I would reduce their funding by 75% pending review and possible entire programs cut for all organizations, departments, and agency programs. Funding would then be redirected to recovery, abstinence, and return homewards. For no-bid contracts, I would investigate and cancel those no-bid contracts and invite new contracts. Also, I would have policy declarations. I declare the Housing First model to be a failure, and we as a city must and will move forward to addiction treatment, counseling, recovery, abstinence, and a return homewards. Taxpayers will not fund enablement of addicts to partake in their substance abuse. I declare DEI, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion, a racist, bigoted, discriminatory segregation and speech suppression program and intolerance failure. All city departments are prohibited from implementing DEI ideology and prohibited from examining and adopting race, religion, gender, orientation, national origin in consideration for city employment or appointments or promotions or contracts. Merit wins, experience matters. I declare Vision Zero a failure, despite years of funding and fruitless efforts, we must create a new vision which encompasses a shared responsibility for safety by vehicles, public transportation, bikes, pedestrians, and traffic engineering. We also must include law enforcement and citations as priority. I declare the obvious that merit wins, excellence matters, success and achievement must be a goal, and the city moves forward with great minds and the best ideas.